On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, an eclipse party, Casey and the Sunshine Band, building clean out, and Game of Thrones.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
We got to see something this week that, you know, I saw a partial eclipse once in my life, but not like this.
Not a total eclipse.
Did you get to see one
total
when you were young?
Eclipse of the heart. You know, I don't remember. I think I didn't have glasses. We were doing the hole in the paper trick mostly in Savannah when I saw it.
It was in the 90s.
Years ago, yeah. It was in the late 90s.
It was somewhere between 1994 and 1997. Because I worked at a hospital, and I know that's when I worked there.
Well, I think it was between 1995 and 97, so.
Well, very possible. But wasn't that cool to see?
Yeah. It was. It was very cool. I mean, it was an amazing sight. But this time we had glasses, and we had a little eclipse viewing party, and
yeah,
it was just fantastic.
Yeah, we had an eclipse party with our gay neighbors. That was awesome.
Yeah.
They had booze, and yeah, I really see how our hunter-gatherer people before us really were freaked out by that.
But then like, it moved on across, and wouldn't you be motivated to figure that shit out?
Some of them were, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
you didn't die. The sun went black. You didn't die.
It must have been, to spark your curiosity for what the hell just happened.
Yeah.
Wow. I just think it's amazing. And when you put those glasses on for the first time and you see that the moon's like half covered or the sun's half covered, like, oh my God, this is freaky looking.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I did. I thought it was cool.
And even when it was here, we had 90% coverage. The eclipse
was
90%.
That was a lot. The shadows were freaky. Like, we were really impressed with how crisp those weird shadows were.
It was during the day, and where we were, there was absolutely no clouds in the sky. It was the best day ever. But it seemed like it was a cloudy day because it was so dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
No clouds in the sky, yet cloudy day.
But it didn't get complete. Like, it didn't go total dark. I never did see any stars or Venus in the sky or anything like that. But something was happening, and you would know it. You would be looking up going, what the hell is going on?
Absolutely.
If you were outside hunting, gathering, farming, you'd want to know what was going on.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Oh, yeah. It would totally freak you out. And I saw that documentary afterwards. That's how big of nerds we are.
I love you.
The dude first figured out, like, precisely to calculate the whole thing, like, in 1715. That's insane.
Yeah.
In 1715, a dude did all the calculations in England, an astronomer, and predicted, basically, I'm sure he had to.
Which one was it? I forget. I'm having a brain fart.
I believe, I'm not remembering from my documentary, I believe it was one, what's the name of our telescope that's floating around?
Was it Hubble?
I believe it might have been Mr. Hubble. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. It was somebody.
All right, the nerds listening to this, tweet us and tell us who it was, because we are just brain dead this week.
Yeah, but they were saying that in this documentary that it's not just, like, you don't have to just calculate, you know, the moon cycle, the Earth rotation. To add to this silliness, the moon is on a 5-degree tilt from the Earth in its orbit, and it's not a perfect elliptical orbit on top of that. So the fact that somebody could take all that into account and calculate that, and the only reason I even believed him at all in 1715 was he said, I can prove it. It's going to happen on this day at this time in London, England. I'll prove it. And it happened within 4 minutes of when he said it was going to happen.
Was that close enough for everybody?
I think everybody's
I guess
like,
it was if we're naming satellites after. Yeah,
everybody. Yeah, I think everybody finally like, all right, you know what the hell you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we believe you. He's the boss now.
Yeah, before then it was random. Like, they knew it would happen.
Yeah.
They knew, like, once every, you know, 18 months or so, somewhere on Earth it happened, but they didn't know where, why. I guess they, well, in 1715, they probably didn't even know why.
No, they, I think that, all right, they were educated enough to know that the Earth and the sun, like,
they were still thinking Earth was still in the universe,
no,
right?
No, not everybody. Not everybody.
Okay.
Like,
just the crazy church people,
just
even
crazy
back in the day.
People, I'm pretty sure that, but that's what we're taught in school, is everybody thought the Earth was the center of the universe, but I'm pretty sure that most educated folks in court understood, you know, King of England would know better. But is it every 18 months somewhere on Earth that there is a full eclipse?
Yep, somewhere.
Like, how come we get so excited about it when it happens in America?
Well, I think it's just so rare that, you know, you think of the surface of the Earth. I mean, sometimes that means the eclipse is over the ocean.
Oh,
okay. And nobody gets to see it.
Nobody sees it. Okay.
But, yeah, that was in that documentary. Somewhere once every 18 months somebody gets an eclipse.
I didn't know it was that common.
Mm-hmm. So, now maybe they're not talking about a full eclipse. I don't know. But they said eclipse.
Okay. Woohoo. Well,
I don't know. Once in a lifetime. Actually, it's actually 7 years from now. We're going to get another one.
Neat. Neat. Mm-hmm. Neat. All right. Well, yeah, I just lost my lust for astronomy when I was a kid. Because about the point where, you know, you get really into the stars and NASA and all that kind of stuff. And about fifth grade when Challenger blew up.
Mm.
I was just devastated.
Put a bummer on it for you?
It did. It really did for me. You were in probably, what, eighth grade? Seventh or eighth?
Seventh or eighth grade, but I've always loved astronomy. I mean,
I did until then. And then I was just like, psh, yeah, whatever.
I mean, I had a telescope, my little star books. I just loved looking at that stuff. When you can see a nebula or a galaxy, even it's just the most amazing thing. It's amazing. What are you doing over there?
I just got the living bejesus shocked out of me with my earbuds again, so I was kind of wrangling everything. That hurts. Why don't we stick an electrode in your ear and shock the shit out of you? Like, you're looking at me like...
It's waking you up.
It is not waking me up.
I don't know how it's shocking you.
I have no idea why or how it is shocking me, but our electronics are sometimes
evil. Maybe it's static electricity.
It was a little harsher than static, and it was in my ear canal, so.
I don't know. Mystery of the universe. But it's the one time when people at this eclipse, they're thinking at least a little bit of how the whole universe works for just a moment. Like, at least you realize when you're seeing an eclipse, like, you realize the moon is crossing in front of the sun. I don't know. I think it makes people at least acknowledge some deeper stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I think most people with any sense, yes. I think you're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. What are you laughing about?
I can just hear some people being like, well, that's how there's some Bible story. I think it was there's some battle. I think Joshua was fighting somebody and the sun stood still in the sky. I mean, there's just all kinds of fun stories like that. I can just imagine how some people would choose to interpret an eclipse. And when you're talking about it, and you're talking about it from an enlightenment point of view, and I'm just laughing about, some of the stuff that I imagine people are saying.
No,
I don't mean to be such a negative Nelly.
Well,
going, my.
Well, I think it's neat to just think about once in a while. I mean, we can look up at the stars at any time and see But I don't know. I think it's just a reminder of the cosmic things in motion and how small we are. And
that's big, Hank. I like that.
You know, we're all floating through this universe, and this one giant rock blocks the view of this giant
other rock,
other exploding atomic bomb that's just constantly exploding.
Do you feel little and insignificant? Little and insignificant. I can't talk tonight.
No, not necessarily. Not like insignificant, but
does it make you introspective? Or?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool.
For sure, it makes me introspective about the whole. Like that's what I'm saying. Yeah, this whole cosmic thing that's going on. You're like, man, we are just so minuscule.
We're so little in the grand scheme.
We are. So I don't know. I had a good eclipse, and that little party was fun.
There was lots of alcohol at that party.
That was, yes. Yeah. The apple cider was a good, refreshing summer drink.
So was the champagne that got busted out from their wedding reception that nobody had drank at the wedding reception. They're like, drink champagne. And like, we just kept drinking it. Well, that was a lot of fun. That was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a good time. This was a lot of fun, too. Remember this song from Kingsman?
Kingsman. I love that. Kingsman 2 is coming out soon.
That's awesome. KC and the Sunshine Band.
We saw them.
That is the goofiest little dance in this, but whatever. I just love that little song.
I do, too.
Yes, we saw KC and the Sunshine Band in concert. Wasn't that fun?
That was great. We had so much fun, and they were so good. And they sounded amazing. First off, they sounded absolutely amazing. Second off, he doesn't look the same, but he absolutely positively has a blast on stage. And he doesn't take himself a bit seriously. He's fantastic.
He's gained a bit of weight. I mean, he can't look the same. Is it not 75?
Well, he's my parents' age.
Yeah, he's in his like 60s, right?
Late 60s.
Yeah. God, he had some good songs. These are all by the same dude. Anybody that has 13 people in their band doing stuff.
Yeah, and two dancers. That's on stage, all going on at once.
That's pretty damn
fantastic.
It's pretty damn impressive. This is the big closer song.
Yes.
He must think this is it. But it is a good song.
You know, but he only had maybe 3 songs the whole night that I didn't recognize. And he played for 2 hours.
Yeah, he did a few cover songs.
But he played for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend anybody to discover this dude. If you haven't. Yeah. And that is as disco as it gets. Right?
Yeah.
And it's a damn good song. I mean, these songs are pretty damn good, too.
Oh, yeah. And something he said that I thought was so cute. I loved it. He's like, some of you out there are wondering who the heck this guy is.
Yeah, who the hell am I?
Well, I'm your mom's NSYNC. And that's so true.
It kind of is.
He had about the same number of songs. NSYNC was huge there for a little while. And, you know, 30 years from now, you know, there's going to be concerts and there's going to be like 2 original members that didn't make it big afterwards. This is going to be touring the country.
It is. That's how it goes.
Isn't little it? Local venues. Yes.
I love this song. This is why I think you should have closed with this. That's the way I like it.
Yeah.
Man, that is a
great song. Making jokes about. I don't even remember if that's how I like it.
He did have some funny little one-liners.
He did. He managed to make kind of fun of himself.
I
love funk music.
You know, and it is funk. There's definitely a funk to this stuff.
Yeah.
That bass guitar, definitely well, is all right. tuned to funk stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, pretty much half of the musicians on stage were black.
Oh, yeah.
And I was laughing. I was like, oh, my God. I'm looking around. I'm like, there's not a black person in this whole building except on the stage. This is going to be the whitest concert they've ever played.
The video to this, I'm Your Boogeyman, I would look at those bell bottoms.
They're fabulous. They are Casey and the Sunshine Band. That's the guy that was on percussion last night.
It is that dude, wasn't
yes,
it?
That dude.
He's the other guy. Casey had one guy that he said
has been there all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were amazing. That's what
I am. And this scene was phenomenal in Watchmen.
Yes.
So they use his songs quite a bit. And
I mean, they define an era.
That little black guy in the middle fucking cracks me up. he is as funky as it gets.
Yeah, well, they have man, they are great. They really are. And it seemed like, I mean, we were pretty dang close. We had good seats. We were close. It seemed like everybody on stage was having a good time, too.
It seemed like it.
Did it seem like it to you? I mean, I know everybody in the yeah. audience had. I was cracking up. This is the same place. Hank, do you realize this is the same theater that protested Melissa Etheridge when she came to town because she's gay?
Yeah.
And it was a packed house for Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird sometimes. No protesters, thankfully. Thankfully. Thank you, Eastern Kentucky.
And think about, like, as big as he was in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and still these songs are phenomenal now. Just think of all the countries he's been to, all the places he's toured.
Yeah.
All the concerts. I mean, back in the day with thousands and thousands of people. I mean, where we saw him was a venue of probably 3,000 people.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah.
Absolutely tops.
Yeah.
He's played to millions of people. He's played these songs.
Probably, yes. Yes. Actually, yeah, absolutely. As long as he's been going. Now, I don't know if he didn't tour for a while. It seems like a lot of groups tour. They quit for a while, then there's almost a resurrection, a reinterest in that type of music. And it starts being played in movies, and they get back together and go back on the road. And I wonder if that's what they might have done.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't have the background, but.
The only thing I would suggest humbly to this guy, skinny jeans are not a good idea for 67-year-old guys.
I think that was his, I don't give a F flag, waving high and proud, dude.
You think?
Yeah. Come on, they were skin tight with printed graffiti stuff all over. Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's saying, I don't care. I wear what I want.
His real name is Harry Casey. C-A-S-E-Y.
Casey in the Sunshine Band. Okay.
Yep, that's him.
Well, he's been on a hell of a show. We loved it.
He does not tweet very much.
He's got to be Suki's dad, though.
He does look just like
he
that dude.
Does.
That, who's that? Who's her real name?
Anna Paquin.
Paquin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Suki Stackhouse. That's what we always going to call her forever.
We call her Suki. Yeah.
He does look just like her, doesn't he?
They do. They look so much alike.
And she's about the right age to probably be his daughter. I don't know.
That's my conspiracy theory.
I agree.
That is my conspiracy theory. I'm just throwing that out there. It's kind of like my Game of Thrones series theories.
If she ever breaks out into some kind of music career, I'm just going to call bullshit. She's got to be his daughter.
Long lost. Nobody knows.
It's got to be something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. This week, I've been busy as crap cleaning out buildings.
Yes, you self-imposed a bunch of deadlines on yourself, and you have gone nuts.
I've figured out a few things by cleaning out these buildings.
All right.
One.
Enlighten me.
Well, one, manual labor sucks.
You think?
You know, there is a reason that you know, common laborers, and that's the term they use. You know, it took me a while to figure this out. The guys on the construction crew that are basically the guys that are, they're low level, they can do some things, but they're basically the lowest pecking order in the construction crew.
Everybody else tells them what to do.
Yes. So they can do some drywall, they can turn screws, bolts, hammer some nails, but pretty much everything. And, but they're also the guys that are sweeping up after at the end of the day.
They're still learning the job. They don't have an expertise yet.
Those are called laborers.
Okay.
They make about $8 to $10 an hour, maybe $10 an hour tops.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you, that shit sucks. That is hard-ass fucking work.
It is.
They work their asses off. I see why they're, you know, most of the laborers, as I think about it now, they look a lot like carnies. They're thin little guys with rat-like features that, hell, because they're going all the damn time.
Yeah, they have to eat a lot just to stay alive at working like that.
They've got those little raccoon kind of hands. They're kind of, you know, real bony. They're little scrawny things.
Okay.
And that's why you can't eat enough calories to burn all the
You're going. I was like, are you into some kind of eugenics or something here? I was about to start chucking shit at your head.
Nope, not talking about Rocket Raccoon. Just talking about these laborers, and I would turn into one too. I mean, you're wringing with
sweat. Have
you been
eating like crazy?
You know, I don't eat that much. It's almost like you get so tired, you are not even hungry.
Dang, okay.
I mean, it's a weird feeling. I totally get the whole thing.
I do too.
It would be you. I guess you could, but it's just the lifestyle. And let's just face it: a lot of these laborers—they're not the smartest dudes in the world, or they wouldn't be just laborers. They'd be somebody higher up.
Well, I mean, or they're just now beginning out, or something like that. But if they're still at the low man on the totem pole after 10 years, yeah, they may not be able to handle a job tougher than that.
Well, what I was getting ready to say, it would be very, very, almost impossible to be halfway healthy and do that.
That is what I tried to tell you while I was doing courier work and sloshing around in the field and doing all that kind of stuff.
It's hard.
Like, I was so wore out physically and so hurting by the end of the day. I didn't want to work out. I wanted to sit on the couch with my hand down my pants like Al Bundy.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yeah, it's just you might bring some snack with you. You bring your lunch. I suppose you could bring a super healthy lunch or something, but you just work till you're so damn hungry that you'll eat anything. Somebody bring a box of donuts, you're eating three of those fast.
Yeah.
Like now. You're like just ravenous.
Yeah, yeah.
But then that might be all you eat for another 5 or 6 hours. And then, like,
of continuous work.
Yeah, then you just skip a meal totally, and before you know it, it's like 6 o'clock, and like, holy shit, I haven't eaten shit since.
Yep, there's a McDonald's. 10 o'clock. Yeah.
And then it hits you, and then you're like, holy shit, I am starving. And then, and then you're eating whatever, a sausage sandwich from McDonald's or something.
Yeah.
I can see it.
It's bad. It's a bad lifestyle, and it's tough. And
well, but these buildings got to be cleaned out. And at some point, you can get crews to help you and this and that, but somebody's got to be in there to supervise.
So you've been doing that.
So I've been supervising. And while you're in there supervising, what are you going to do? Just stand there like a jackass while people are loading stuff into trucks and cleaning out a 100-year-old building of, it's 100 years. It's 100 years of hoarding.
Yeah.
Is what it is. We bought a 3-story building that used to be a hardware store. And you'd think, literally, some of the bullshit in here literally is 100 years old.
Yeah, you found a billy goat that was 100 years old, didn't you?
A billy goat. Actually, the billy goat's from the 60s.
Okay.
But still, the point is, you'd think you'd find some pretty cool stuff in here, but it's not. It's random pipes and random 2x4s.
And how many burnout fluorescent light bulbs do you think you found?
God, a million. Probably 1,000. I've taken out 1,000 light bulbs that are just burnt out. That's the thing about who we bought this building from a previous person. And I get it. Everybody just passes. They just kick the can on down the road. But why would you save baseboard trim?
Did you hear that?
I hear you, Chairman Meow. That's right. Why would they do that? Why would you save baseboard trim with a bunch of damn nails in it, of all things?
Why would you save all of those old computer monitors? And by that,
I mean
the huge ones that are like green cursor, like the original old school
80s, early 90s.
Monitors.
Yeah, 80s, early 90s, giant bulb.
There was an entire truckload of those.
Yep. We've taken three gigantic dumpsters of trash out there.
Not what the scrappers hauled out to take to recycle either.
No, my scrappers, and I love these guys, my scrappers came by. Anytime you clean out a building anywhere around here, you just lay some, it's like feeding deer. It's like putting a deer feeder out that throws out corn once in a while.
Uh-huh. Or, you throw a few metal scraps out, they're going to show up and ask if it's okay to haul it off.
Exactly.
And then you can drag them into the building and get them just moving everything out that's metal.
Just like fishing. It's like fishing. That's what it is. You set your little lure out there, you get a little bit of metal, and then when you see them come around, they'll start slowly, you know,
they'll start
circling.
Looking.
They'll start looking. Then you go out there and like, hey, I got a whole building full of this stuff. You want this stuff?
And they jump on it.
Oh, and then they're just like a fish. Then they hit the bait, and you drag them inside, and you get five or six of these clan. And they're very clannish. Scrappers are clannish. They just are. You've got the head clan member who's the family kind of patriarch.
All right, wait, stop.
You're freaking out because of clan.
I'm
not talking about the
I know, but this week, Hank, this week, you really need, and I've been super sensitive, but you need to be a little bit more sensitive about your language right now. I'm just telling
you. Anybody can look this up. Everybody knows there's hillbilly clans, and these are
exactly.
Clans.
Exactly. That's what we mean, but we are in the South, too, so you need to be a little sensitive.
Okay.
I'm putting my foot down.
Well, then explain it however you want. We're not talking about the Ku Klux Klan. We're talking about the Scrapper Clan.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
Please.
So the Scrapper Clan comes in. You got the head scrapper dude who's the family patriarch. He brings about five of his scrapper relatives with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they just ascend on this place like I don't know what. They start chucking all kinds of metal stuff. They're throwing it in this.
Well, you said one guy just picked up a whole desk.
Oh, yeah. Sir, do you want that desk? No. Well, okay. Just grabs it. Just lifts it up. Yep. Lifts up a whole desk. Throws it over his shoulder. They'll grab, like, this basically metal piping. And there'll be a whole stack of this metal piping that people have saved for some reason for all these years. And they'll ask, you know, Mr. Yates, would you, or can we take that load of pipe? They're very honest.
They're very,
know.
Well, they go in, they know there's a whole lot of building to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, and I'm sure they see pretty quick, if you want to keep something, you're going to speak up about it.
Right.
But, like, you're telling them, yeah, take it, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can understand. Like, they don't want to get accused of stealing anything because there are people who will break into houses to steal copper out of people's water lines. So
these guys will see a big pile of pipes over there. They'll just grab an armful of this stuff, but no gloves, no anything. They'll just wrap a big handful of this pipe, which is heavy as hell.
Yeah.
They'll just sling it over their shoulder like that dude from the Led Zeppelin cover with a bunch of sticks on his back and just carry that shit out load by load. It's amazing.
Wow. Wow.
Hands, feet, arms, this is dirty. They look like coal miners. They come out. They don't care in the least bit.
Bless their hearts. I'm glad to have them, though.
Yeah, but you know they're like a gang, and they have their own like code. These scrappers, they're all, especially the older dude, you can tell. I mean, I'm in the medical field, and you can just tell in general. He's about 60 years old. He's probably an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost certain, just from his facial features and this and that, he's probably an alcoholic. And, yeah, I don't know. He has his code. Like, he would probably never in a million years do any kind of what he would consider drugs, but he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And when these guys, we've been cleaning this place out for a week or so. When they come in, I'll call this main guy. His name's James. And I got his number the first time he was there because I'm like, I got to get these guys back. Like, these are the guys.
Yes.
So I'd call him, like, James, you going to come over today? We're going to clean out this building. Who's this? What you can just tell. Just drunk or high as a monkey. You know, no, I'm not going to make it today. Like, I thought you said you were going to be. No, I got something else going on.
He does have something else going on.
Yeah. So you can never depend on him. So if you ever get him there, and that's a thing.
Em.
Yeah. Like, like today, I called this guy last night, like, James, you're going to, you know, we're going to be over there today. Can you be there at 1 o'clock? Let's clean this thing out. And he sounded sober last night. Uh-huh. Totally, like, yes, sir.
Saturday night.
Yes, sir. We'll be there at 1 o'clock, and I'll meet you there at 1 o'clock, and I'll have my whole clan with me, and we'll just get it done, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, well, that sounded reasonable. Today it's about 2:30 when they all roll in. You know, I don't know why. They don't tell. They live by their own rules. You know?
Well, yeah, they're not exactly reporting to their own job, to a job or a boss or anything like that. They're
right.
Going to drag all of that stuff in for recycle money.
Yep.
Which,
so while they're there, I get them because by that time, like, I'd plan on quitting about 4 o'clock myself. But while they're there, you might as well just stay the whole time. Because if they ever leave, there's a good chance they'll never come back. You just never know with these people.
Because they might have enough money to buy enough booze for several weeks.
Yes.
They're just not going to need you.
So, yeah, these scrappers are just crazy. I tried to start up a conversation with one of the little scrapper kids. He's probably, I think he said he was a freshman in high school. And I said something about, you know, what have you been doing lately? You been watching, you know, any sports? Or what do you like to do? And he threw out something like, I didn't get the whole gist of it. But basically, he's like, well, I've been doing a little farming. Like, oh, that's interesting. What kind of, are you raising stuff? He's like, yeah, I got a report over to the detention center for a work release program where we're growing food at the prison out there for the inmates and blah, blah, blah. And it's some best I can get out of it. He's done something fucked up as a juvenile.
And now he's on a work release program.
Yeah. Instead of like going to actual jail or whatever, he's on some work release program where they work him for so many hours a day at this farm. And he still gets to go to school and this other stuff. I'm like, good God,
you know,
heaven.
That's a solution. And who knows, maybe he'll decide he really doesn't like farming and he won't do that again.
Well, you know what? He seems like to scrap metal because he just jumped right in with the rest of the clan, just bundles and handfuls.
If that's all you know, of course you're going to jump in and...
I guess.
Come on.
Well, the kid did okay, but that's the scrapper clan for you.
Bless his heart.
We're gonna be bless his heart.
I have to say that.
We'll be watching your show soon tonight.
Game of Thrones.
Tonight is the. I hate when they do this. What do you even call it? It's not a season finale. It's like halftime of a ball game.
I think they did finally decide they're breaking it into seasons. And we might not get the end of Game of Thrones until late 2018, maybe 2019.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Like, every episode from here on is going to be feature length, like an hour and a half long.
Jeez, oh, Pete. I kind of, I kind of like that and don't like that.
I know. I'm willing to wait as long as they do it right.
You know, this season, they're starting to piss me off. I don't know if anybody watches Game of Thrones, but if not, God, you're missing out. And obviously, if you have not started watching it, you might as well just fast forward all this because we're going to get all kinds of spoilers. We're talking Game of Thrones, damn it. Everybody in the country's talking about it, and we're talking about it, too. All right. This last season, the whole point of this show, why it's so popular, why it's unique, is the killing off of main characters and plots that evolve around that, not just everything's all hunky-dory and this, you know.
Actually feel fear for main characters.
This whole seventh season, is that what we're in?
Yeah, seventh season.
They've had all kinds of opportunities to start weeding characters out, which is what I was actually kind of
starting. Hunger Game style.
Yeah, that's what I was actually starting to look forward to because I'm actually starting to be able to follow. I'm starting to be able to follow the plot more because there's less characters. They've killed off enough people to I can actually halfway follow this. And now they're not killing them off.
And
it's pissing me off. What the hell? Have they just wussed out and just said, oh, fuck it, we'll just do like everybody else?
Well, I think some of the characters that they have killed off, we haven't been emotionally attached to. They killed a freaking dragon, though.
Kind of. But he got resurrected.
As on the other side. But he's playing for the other team, dude.
He's a zombie dragon. Yeah, zombie dragons.
Yeah.
See, if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, just that ought to be enough to tease you right there. There's zombie dragons, for the love of God.
Ice zombie dragons.
So anyway, I just hope that they don't just wuss out and conform to every other just happy ending where the girl, Danny, marries John and...
They have babies and live happily ever after.
Yes. Jamie kills Cersei. Everybody's just happy, hunky-dory, and blah, blah, blah. They'll kill off and maybe kill off, like, Bran or some minor character, and that's how they'll wiggle out of, like, oh, we did kill a main character, and it was really sad. No, you really didn't.
Well, I've got the perfect article for you.
Yeah.
Because this is the odds. The 17 characters most likely to die in Game of Thrones this week.
Just the fact that there's 17. Wrap your head around that. Oh, that's now. After seven seasons of killing people.
The reason Game of Thrones had such a rabid following that it could ever be brought to television is because, unlike you, some of us weirdos love expansive universes with tons of characters to figure out, you know, politics and history and plot. And I mean, that's why some of us watch this.
Well,
I'm a weirdo.
Well, I can't argue with that. It's extremely, it's extremely popular. There's no doubt about it. And that's one of the unique features, I suppose. But just the fact that now after seven seasons and like I said, up until this season, it's been known. And throughout the season, main characters get killed. If there's 17 left now, then there must have been literally double that. There was 34 of these to start with. There had to be.
Maybe, but characters have come and gone.
Yeah. Ah, they're coming to get us.
All right. Characters have come and gone. All right.
So anyway, we've whittled it down to 17.
Right. Sansa Stark has a 68%... probability of surviving this week is what they
say. This is probability of surviving.
It says last time we saw her, Arya was literally threatening to cut her face off, but they think she'll make it.
That's the girl that plays, what's she play in X-Men?
Jean Grey.
Yeah, it's Jean Grey.
Yeah. I think she's grown up a lot as an actress over the last 7 years on
no
HBO.
Kidding. We've seen her grow.
Yeah, some of these... These actors have literally gone from small children to adults.
66% chance of surviving.
68. They think she's going to make it.
I think so, too.
All right, Tyrion Lannister.
Is that the midget?
Yes.
The little person.
Hank. The imp.
Oh, that
that's
sounds a lot
name.
Better.
Okay, that's what that's his name in Game of Thrones. Okay.
Yeah.
He has a 65% chance of surviving.
He has a 95% chance. They're not killing off Dinklage.
I don't think so either. I have a feeling I really think he'll make it all the way to the end.
He'll make it to the end just because they won't want to kill a little person.
No, I don't think so. I think he just has great survival instincts, and I think he will make it to the end. Okay. His character, I love him. All right, Brienne of Tarth.
Which one's Brianna?
Do you know any of these characters at all?
No.
All right, she's the tall woman.
All right, gotcha.
Tormund is in love with.
Okay.
Brienne of Tarth.
Now, she might die.
I'm
going to give her a 50-50 chance.
Like, they say 60%.
Well, that's lower. Okay. Okay.
All right. They say she's one of the characters that should make it to the happy ending. But she's just tough as hell. I mean, come on. She's tough, and she's got some good people rooting for her. Varys. Do you even know who that is?
Varys. No.
The bald eunuch.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
That's Varys?
Yes.
Gosh.
And they say he has a 52% chance of surviving. He's too cool and smart to die.
Well, they're giving him basically 50-50?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I can see him dying.
I can see him dying, too.
Well, first of all, there's been some foreshadowing. Already earlier in this season, somebody said he's going to die.
Yeah.
The Red Witch
lady. I think
he'll
die next season, though.
He's going to die sometime.
I think he's going to die next season. Podrick Payne.
Which one's... wait a minute. He's the little rower guy.
No.
He's not rowing?
I'm enjoying this so much. No, he's the squire to Brienne.
Oh, I thought that was the same dude that was the...
No, it's a different dude.
Oh, okay,
they
gotcha.
They just have dark hair.
Well, that little dude could die.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a...
He's only got a 40% chance of survival.
Okay, now we're talking. See?
They say we're waiting for his shining moment, and it could be sacrificing himself for one of his favorite buddies, Brienne, Bronn, or Tyrion.
You know, I can see that. If he's one of their... If they're considering him a main character, then okay. Yep.
Yeah, I think he'll go. I do.
Yeah, he's not going to make it.
All right. Sandor Clegane or the Hound, the guy with the burns.
The guy with the burns. Yeah, you know, again, that's one of those pissing me off. He should have died this last episode.
He should have died so many episodes. But
he should have.
He got shoved off of a cliff and everybody thought he was dead. Like, they thought Brienne killed him. I mean, Arya left him to die in the wilderness.
I'll give him 50-50 chance, I guess, but they're going to keep him around till he's going to be one of these that's going to piss me off, that they're going to keep him forever. But whatever.
Well, they say he's got a 35% chance of survival this episode.
Oh, so they're saying he's going to die.
Well, that could be, and I agree with them on this, he's going to King's Landing. He's going to meet his brother, the Mountain, who's now like Cersei's zombie, guarding her. The Hound's going to attack the Mountain because they hate each other with a passion, and the Mountain will kill him. Yeah.
Okay.
Bronn.
Let me think. Which one's Bronn? He's a little kid, right?
No. That's Bran.
Oh, who's Bronn?
No.
Oh, Bronn. Yeah, he's a dude that saved...
Jaime, the last episode.
Yeah, he saved Prince Charming from the dragon.
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
He is the best investment the Lannisters have ever made.
No shit. He deserves his castle he wants.
Yes. Damn it. They should give him a castle right now and let him go.
They act like he's a greedy little bastard because he wants a castle. Fuck, he deserves
a
whole...
He deserves a castle over and over. He kept Tyrion alive, and now he's kept Jaime alive.
Heck yeah.
So he's been awesome.
Everybody likes him.
They say 34%.
Well, I can... Well, I just don't know. Obviously, there must be...
Well, he's going to have some divided loyalties between Tyrion and Jaime. If Tyrion and Jaime are on opposite sides of each other, and I don't know that they are and aren't, but he might have some divided loyalties. Something bad could happen. Cersei Lannister.
She'll never freaking die till the last episode of the last season.
All right, they say...
There's no chance of her dying this episode.
I'm going to read this. They say her chance of survival is 25%.
Oh, good Lord.
They're being optimistic here, I think, yeah. If Cersei survives this episode, it's because Tyrion is a forgiving brother and won't let Daenerys intervene. If she doesn't die by the end of the season, or by the end of season 7, she will definitely die in season 8. Kill her already, sweet Jaime.
I can see that. I mean, I can see her dying sometime, but she's not dying in this episode.
No. Here's the one I think that's going to go.
All right, let's hear it.
Grey Worm.
Oh, yeah. He's a minor dude.
Well, he's minor, but we like him.
Yeah.
We like him a lot. He's been there for a lot of this. He's a good dude. He's lived through a lot. We root for him. I think he's gone this episode. What do they say? I didn't even read these. Okay. So, it says, chance of survival this episode, 20%.
Okay. They're with you.
Hopefully Daenerys can come to his rescue, but it looks like he'll lead the Unsullied into some kind of battle this week. His life is always at risk, but he's made it thus far because he and all the Unsullied are really, really good at what they do. Doesn't really say anything there, but I think his time's up.
I agree. I can see that.
Ooh, all right. I think she may go eventually, but I don't know. Missandei.
Which one's that? That's the witch?
No, that is his girlfriend, Daenerys.
Oh, translator. Yeah. She's the same as Grey Worm. Yeah. She's the same as Grey Worm. She's minor, but we like her. Yeah. They think of sacrificing her. What do they say?
They say her presence in King's Landing in the finale has them worried. Her death would be emotional and impactful for many characters and every viewer. Yeah, I think she's almost like an easy sacrifice there, too. Like, to not to a big battle, but some kind of espionage or something.
Like, I will eat my words if this episode, like, Cersei dies. I'll be like, okay, that's a main super person that nobody saw coming. That would turn this episode around. That would turn this season around. Somebody
big the dragon died.
Needs to die.
The dragon died. Everybody, that is enough. That is like 6 episodes for me of death.
But everybody knew. Yeah. Everybody knew there are out of 3 dragons. Everybody knew one of them was going to die.
I didn't know that they were going to use them the way that they used them with like the fire bombing, basically like the napalm runs. Like once you saw that in the episode where they had the battle on the King's Road while they were taking the money back, like where Jaime almost bought it. That one, like, that was amazing, but I just didn't think that they would fly north. And the whole time they were up north, I was like, this is the nerd in me going, but they're reptiles. How can they still be flying in the cold?
That's your plot hole of all the damn
plot
holes.
That was my plot hole.
That's another thing. I'm letting a lot of stuff slip in
this.
You
have to go. I mean,
a lot. This last episode in particular, a lot of stuff. Of plot holes that are just so
bullshit. You have to realize George R. R. Martin is not in charge of this anymore. The guys who are writing this for TV are. So.
Well, and there's so many books and so many characters. And just like you said, if you want to have 34 characters in books, yeah, you can write 15 books that are 1,000 pages each to delve into this.
Yeah.
If you're making a TV show,
you've got to cut away a lot of that, and you got to just
get to the heart of the story. That means a ton of plot holes if you're really, you know.
Yeah.
And that usually does bother me, but I don't know. In this situation, I'm just like going with it because like last show, hell, why didn't she fucking burn the goddamn Night King and the whole thing would be over?
Because he had a big old ice spear ready to chuck it at her beloved dragon.
Well, but he missed. And then as soon as he missed, she should have done a U-turn and just fried his ass.
He had one more javelin ready to go in the back.
She could have got him first.
Okay. All right. Master Qyburn? Q-Y-B-U-R-N.
I barely
recognize this guy. He's the asshole that took over the little birds, the children that are running around whispering all the rumors in the palace.
Okay, he's Cersei's
right-hand
confidant,
master of espionage.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, he could be gone. He's nobody.
Yeah, he's got a 10% chance, they say. No!
They must be anticipating a big battle. I didn't see anything in the previews even indicating there was a battle coming.
Well, there was the scene.
I know they're coming
with the Unsullied standing on the field, and then Huns.
The Huns?
Not the Huns. What do you call Daenerys's first husband's?
Oh, the Dothraki.
Dothraki. Yeah, I had a brain fart there. Yeah, the Dothraki, like, just filling in their lines and all come running up on horses around the Unsullied.
No,
That was badass as hell.
Mm, okay.
Like, when she shows up with her forces, it's like, oh, shit. And she's coming to King's Landing with them.
Well, I knew she was going to King's Landing, but I just didn't know that they were going to actually have a battle. So okay.
I don't know if they're having a battle, if they're just making a show of force. Come on, it's like...
Let's hope there's a battle. Like I said, if they're given all this chance that people die, and they must think they're going to be a battle.
Well, they seem to think so. But,
well, let's hope. What's that dude's name?
Tormund Giantsbane, our red-bearded fellow that we love so much.
Yeah, everybody likes him.
So in love with Brienne.
He's some good comic relief.
I love him. Chance of survival, 10%.
Oh, he's dying this time.
He'll literally rip the throats out of his enemy using his teeth. So there's very small chance he'll survive, but he sticks around Eastwatch by the sea and will likely die fighting the Night King and his army. So they think he's going to be up north.
Now, are these percentages you're saying to survive the whole?
I think they're saying tonight.
Okay, gotcha. Well, then there must be a big battle tonight.
Beric Dondarrion. I don't know this guy very well. He's only been in the last few episodes.
He's the guy with the flaming sword.
Yeah, they say he's got an 8% chance of survival. Well, these are the guys that are staying by Eastwatch by the sea. They're basically saying that the wall's going to get knocked down, I think.
Well, he showed up new a few episodes ago with a crazy flaming sword, so I can see.
Well, he was before that. He was with the Hound.
He was?
Yeah. At the beginning of the season.
Well, right, but I don't remember him before this season.
No, I think he's been just basically this season.
He's gone.
Yeah. All right. Ed and whoever's left at the Night's Watch.
Ed and whoever's left at the Night Watch. That's a good way to put it. So they're saying this is the night the
Night's Watch just bites it, I think is what they're saying.
Okay. Well,
all right. Yarn Greyjoy, they say is not a forgiving man. That's the...
Who's that?
She is Theon's older sister that her uncle captured in the sea battle.
Well, yeah, I thought she was already basically dead. Oh, well, she's been captured.
He captured her.
She's not even... Well, maybe.
This is a good one. Littlefinger.
Yeah, I think he'll die.
I think he'll make it.
Really?
I'm going to argue with you on this one.
Okay. In general?
Either he's going to make it all the way through to the end, or he's going to bite it tonight because...
He's like this show's version of Ross from Friends.
Yeah, he is.
He is so whiny and obnoxious. God dang it, I wish they'd kill him.
I still kind of like him, though.
Oh, God.
There's something about him, okay? There's something...
He's the worst actor.
So... conniving about him that I have to admire it. Like, he is going to get what he wants no matter what.
Well, he is conniving, but God, he's an awful actor.
They say that Manacle Laughter Littlefinger is doomed. We're hoping that the Stark sister feud that he facilitated isn't real and actually part of a clever plan by Arya and or Sansa to finally take him down and get back at him for betraying their father Ned Stark in season one. Littlefinger is responsible for pretty much everything that started the war that split up the Stark family, so we're excited to see how this one ends.
Okay.
All right. The Mountain.
That's the... Now he's a zombie dude.
Zombie dude. His brother, the Hound, who is not a zombie, is coming to town, and we're hoping the Mountain gets absolutely crushed by him and for good this time.
Yeah. They're not bad. Is that all of them?
Yep. That's your rundown of the main characters.
All 17.
Well, they didn't have anything about, what's his name? That has the Jilly and the baby, that's coming back with all the books to tell him how to fight. Yeah, Samwell.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything about Sam. He's going to make it.
You think?
He's going to make it. I feel like he will definitely make it all the way to the end.
That's 18 characters.
Yeah. Well, 17. So, woo, there's a rundown.
Well, we'll have to watch it later. But it has been an entertaining show.
You've put up with my obsession with this. Like, you've been, I've got to hand it to you. You've been great. And I explained a lot of stuff.
Right. But that's what I was just going to say. That's because you've explained a lot, too. And this also, you know, I don't know if we're just getting into this or if this is a new way to watch things, but I feel like it's sort of new.
We got into it with Westworld, with the YouTube videos about Westworld.
Yes.
And that kind of put us onto YouTube videos about Game of Thrones after we watched the episode, we watched the roundups.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. With Westworld probably did. It's probably, we've probably been inching towards it. We just haven't really noticed it. But yeah, Westworld in particular. You watch an episode, then you watch something else to see all the things you missed or didn't catch.
Yeah.
Some of these directors and producers are being extremely clever in putting.
Doesn't it make you feel better about humanity in general that not all television is geared towards barely sentient life?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and we've said it a million times on here. One of our favorite directors back in the day was like Stanley Kubrick. And the fact that he was, first of all, he is literally a genius.
Yeah.
And he studied all kinds of subliminal books and subliminal this, and he was super into the subliminal. And it seems like that these newer people are being, it seems like this is kind of in the same vein.
Well,
because when we go through these videos, we always, like, we'll watch this episode tonight.
Yeah.
And then we'll watch a video about it. We're like, oh, yeah, in the background, that is that knife from season two that he had. And, you know, it's stuff that you couldn't in the moment figure out. There's no way.
But there are people who study this and obsess about it so much that they go back and rewatch everything and double check it. And then they put a video up on YouTube. And I just want them to know we appreciate you.
Yeah, we do.
We applaud you and we appreciate you.
Right.
We're not that obsessed, but we're obsessed enough to watch your videos.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, well, yeah, but I'm saying that it's nice that the directors are actually putting that in there on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, these people aren't just finding stuff randomly, and it's not, like, it's supposed to be there. You're supposed to know that that's the dagger that was in the book that Sam was reading.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's kind of hard to catch all of it if you're a casual watcher, if you haven't read the books.
It's a new form of how to take in these shows.
Yeah.
Like that couldn't even have been there in the past, I don't think.
Well, all right, it's
unless you could have like let's think of this back in the 70s even. That's before even VHS.
But, all right, it's almost like there's this fandom that talks about these things now. All right, like people talk about it on Twitter, mm-hmm. on YouTube, on Facebook. You know, it used to be water cooler, but now it's a much wider audience with the internet, and so people can catch these things. And I've loved, you know, even going back old shows that I've loved before, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. There was a lot of foreshadowing in early seasons for how it was going to end. And I mean, there's.
Well, that's deep. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, there were shows that had that you didn't, that sometimes you caught it on your own, but sometimes you didn't catch it until you went back and rewatched stuff later and went, oh, there it was. Yeah. And it makes you feel kind of dumb when you don't catch it. But now when you've got a huge group of people and thousands of people talking about this, you know, there's that one person who saw it and can go, hey guys, did you see this? and go back and pull up a picture and show everybody. So there's a much bigger water cooler talking about it now than there ever was before.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, and I missed this, but what was that? Lost made people really talk about stuff and go back.
Well, and all this, I guess, as we're talking about this, and we're talking, I mean, 80s, early 80s is when VHS mm-hmm. came along, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, before then, you couldn't have, you had to be able to hit the pause button, is what I'm trying to say.
There wasn't a pause button before then, yeah.
That's right. Before then, how are you going to catch all this stuff? You couldn't. So, yeah. Directors didn't put that much in there.
No, because...
Which is what makes our dude Stanley Kubrick so fucking awesome, because he did put that shit in there before it was even possible to kind of
pause it and look at it, yeah.
But it was there, and I think that's very groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But now, and also for things to come out on VHS.
Yeah.
But, or, you know, some form that you can rewatch it. Before then, in the 70s, you saw a TV show, you might catch a rerun of it the same, you know, but you couldn't just sit down and watch it.
And rewind it and
pause. And, oh, that number on his shirt, that happens to match the same number as the day he dies or some other thing that was in there. There was no point in it until you could actually
pause it and go back and rewatch it. And
right.
Figure that stuff out. Well.
So it's evolved. All this has evolved. And now, like you just said, with Twitter and Facebook, it's evolving more so they can put. We're finding from these videos we're watching, there's all kinds of stuff.
They have
every
entire
scene.
Conventions. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so devoted to this stuff. And there's a part of me that feels a little bit guilty because it's fiction. It is fiction. It means nothing. But damn, it's so much fun and I enjoy it so much. It's good fiction.
Like I said, I think it's a new way to consume this entertainment. You watch the show, that's an hour. Then you watch some videos about the show you just watched.
That's another hour. And then you're going to watch the show again, so that's the third hour.
Yeah, and then you might rewatch it, to see, now you saw the videos, now you can go back, oh yeah, that was there.
Yeah.
So you end up getting 3-4 hours entertainment out of a 1 hour show.
Because it's, yeah. Is that intelligent? Thank you.
It's pretty
good.
We
enjoy it so much.
Yeah, and you're right. Westworld in particular was really up our alley for that.
Yeah. And you really needed to watch some of those, like the after the show roundup from the writers and the directors.
That helps too.
Helps, yeah. And I enjoy stuff like that. I really do. I enjoy what they were thinking when they...
It's entertaining.
Gave us that show.
And some people, that's too much. I mean, I just want to watch a show, go to bed. They don't want to get into it that much. And that's okay, too. You can still get the plot and whatever.
Or you can watch something totally different. That's kind of why I never got into. Like, I'm not a sitcom person.
You know, I'm not so much either. I don't know. I was in the day. I liked Seinfeld and I liked some of those. But again, I think things are just different. Things have evolved.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyhow, where can they find us, speaking of Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff?
You can find our Game of Thrones series on hillbillynerdtalk.com. And from there, you can find my Pinterest page, Hank's Twitter account, and Facebook page.
Yep. I'm not as active on Facebook. If you send me a message, I check it once every week or two. I'm not the biggest Facebook person in the world. I'm more active on Twitter.
I'm a Pinterest fiend.
You're on Pinterest all the time, which is good. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not all the time, but...
A lot. That's okay.
Are
I'm
you
going to
beat on me
on
for
you.
That again?
No, nope, I don't okay. care. There's a great on Twitter, this Game of Thrones. There's some of the best memes. That's another...
See, I catch that all that on Pinterest. I do.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm saying that's another level of this that we aren't even talking about is the entertainment value of that.
Yeah.
Of people making up these funny memes. Like the last episode, there was a great meme about the the Olympians of Game of Thrones. They have the White Walker, the javelin, the one guy, the swimmer. And, like, that's great. Like, it's so damn entertaining and creative.
One guy was the shot put, and the other guy was the relay.
Yeah. Like, that's great. I got distracted.
Sorry.
I mean, that's a whole nother level of entertainment. That's another hour or so this week.
Yeah,
As soon as it's over tonight, get on hashtag Game of Thrones and watch people just the funniest.
What they can come up with is...
It's a damn amazing.
Yeah.
The one I told you, I may screw it up here under the gun here, but the one, that one little, somebody tweeted, some genius out there tweeted, was when Danny is going to meet Cersei, and it's a little fake conversation, and Cersei says, "I thought you had 3 dragons," because one of them just died. And then Danny says back, "I thought you had 3 children," because all of her children have died. Like, that is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, people are brutal with these. And
what about the incest beams you've been seeing?
Oh, yeah, they're so funny, where it's like season 1 of Game of Thrones, and you're like, ew, incest is gross. And season 7 of Game of Thrones, you're like, I hope he sleeps with his aunt.
I hope John and his aunt and his Aunt Dani get it on.
It's so true. We're all rooting for it. It's like, it has warped us.
It's wonderful. It's a great show. So anyway, so there's our Game of Thrones roundup. Man, I'll put some stuff out.
All right, everybody, we're getting off of here because we're going to go watch Game of Thrones. Y'all have a great week.